If you've ever been confused or confounded when trying to select wine at a local restaurant, you're not alone. Most of us don't have the kind of expertise to make a really knowledgeable choice. Often it comes down to price, and even then we don't always know what to expect. In today's Soundbite segment, our friends from Sauce Magazine have provided some experts to help out. With me in studio is Meera Nagarajan, the art director for Sauce Magazine. Sauce is devoting a lot of space to wine coverage in its September issue and its 2016 guide to drinking. Glenn Bargette is the wine director at Annie Guns in Chesterfield. He is a two-time James Beard semifinalist for Outstanding Wine Program for his work at Annie Guns. Andre Ivanov is the beverage director at Reed's American Table in Maplewood. He was recently named one of Food & Wine's 2016 Sommeliers of the Year. Thank you all so much for being with us.
And thank you.
Thank you, Don.
And thank you for what you brought. Again, guess what, listeners? We have a little wine in the studio. Meera, let me begin with you. How do we stack up in St. Louis community as a wine-drinking community? Most people think of beer when they think of St. Louis.
Well, yeah, we have a number of restaurants that have dedicated people who are building wine lists that are knowledgeable about wine and curating really interesting wine lists. And we also have a number of wineries in the area. So, I mean, we have a lot to choose from.
Are we fairly sophisticated when it comes to that particular drink?
Well, we have some fairly sophisticated people who are helping us achieve that. So, yes, I would say so.
Glenn, to you on this, what do you think is the biggest mistake that people make when they're going to a restaurant and thinking about what wine to select?
I've always thought it's drinking what you think you're supposed to drink and not really drinking what you like. Some people are intimidated into buying certain things or trying to like certain things. I'm very involved with the Missouri wine industry, and one of the challenges we've always had with the Missouri wines is that since quite a few of them are sweet, some people think they're lesser quality wines. And so they're embarrassed when they like sweet wines. I said, it doesn't matter. You drink what you like. So that's to me, that's the, you know, not going with your own taste.
Andre, go ahead.
I love sweet wine. It's one of the things that I unabashedly tell folks when they ask me, well, what's your favorite, grape or what's your favorite style of wine to drink? And invariably for me, it comes back to off-dry German Riesling. And I'm very, very proud of that.
But aren't a lot of people intimidated when they walk into some of the places that Meera has suggested that have these great and extensive wine lists? And where do I go from here? I've got 85 wines to choose from. Andre, what do you...
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that the intimidation factor where it comes from is the idea that you should be an expert in just being able to navigate your way through this list that's right there in front of you. And the biggest piece of advice that I have for folks is that, you know, look, there's usually people there on the staff that picked these wines for a particular reason because they represent place, that grape, that particular winemaker. And I think that if you're intimidated or if you don't know where to start, the easiest thing you can do is just ask your server or ask the wine professional at that restaurant for a little bit of advice.
Not every restaurant has a wine professional, a sommelier such as yourself, for instance, who's knowledgeable about everything that would be on the list.
Mm-hmm. And in that case, there's always going to be the opportunity to take a look through the list, and I think Glenn's going to expand on that a little bit more. Take a look at things that you may recognize, and look at things that are organized, and hopefully in a similar price point or from a similar place or with a similar grape, and maybe take a stab at it. Now, Glenn, what do you think?
When I started putting the wine list together and our wine list was quite a bit smaller when I got there, it grew because people made it grow. I started there 16 years ago with 200 wines. Now we have 900, and it's because people support it. And mm-hmm. and if people didn't support it, it wouldn't happen. So since there's interest, as Andre said, and if somebody comes in and I want to try an Austrian wine, I want to try a Portuguese wine, I want to try a Missouri wine. There's going to be somebody there. We have four managers and myself, a chef that are all very wine educated, obviously, and then our servers. I do a wine class every morning with our staff before we open, so our servers are pretty up to speed. Unless we get into the esoteric stuff Andre's going to talk about in a little bit. But there's some really really good people out there. I've been astonished at the talent in this city of wine people. Really, it's incredible.
Andre, how much time do you take with people as they're making their choice?
A lot of times, it really depends on the table. It depends on how much time that they want from you. I'm usually pretty good about, in a couple of questions, being able to narrow down the style of wines that people prefer. And then you kind of just kind of go through the Rolodex of your own wine list and either give them something that they're familiar with that you know that they're going to like, or you're fairly sure that they're going to like. Or you have in that same Rolodex a lot of grapes and wines that are similar in style. And you just propose it to them. One always big say fail safe that I do at Reed's, and I stress the importance of my staff doing at Reed's, is just to say, hey, if you don't like this wine, that is totally okay. We will take that. We will use it for staff training. We will drink it at some point in time, and we will get you something else that we absolutely think that you will like. Because for us, it's much more important that you enjoy what's there in front of you and what's there in front of your food than make that sale and walk away. It's not really that kind of transaction.
That can be a fairly expensive courtesy, I would think. Some of the stuff doesn't come cheap.
Well, it's the beauty of working with a staff that's as good as ours is that we're not wrong all that often. Right. And it's okay. It's a great learning opportunity, even if we are wrong.
Mira, how do you make your selections when you're restauranting and ordering wine?
Well, I mean, for example, with this September issue in our annual guide to drinking, to prepare for that, we at the office, we don't know a whole lot about wine. We're certainly not experts by any means. And so we invite a lot of people in to come talk to us about what is trending, what they think we should be aware of. And then from that point on, we go and create these stories that we think are suitable for the guide to drinking. And that is really how I've helped myself to make good choices when I am traveling or if I'm at a restaurant. For instance, I was in Austin over the summer. And I went to Laundrette, which is a restaurant out there, and they had a wonderful wine list. And a lot of the items that were on there are things that I had read about in the Guide to Drinking myself. For example, there was a wine on the list from Swartland, which is in South Africa, just north of Cape Town. And I just had a conversation with Andre weeks earlier for this issue, and he had talked about South African wines and how they were silly, silly good. And I remembered that, and that's what I ordered, and it was wonderful. Similarly, they had a New Zealand wine that I tried. And when I was in Kansas City at Sava, it's a wine bar out there, I ordered a Jura wine, which is a region in France in between Burgundy and Switzerland, and it's a smaller, lesser-known region, but they are producing some incredible wines. And so that's really how I select stuff. And Glenn has given us so many interesting acronyms and varietals and regions to search for when we're ordering stuff or buying wine at the grocery store.
Yeah. With regard to ordering wine in a restaurant, though, Glenn, before you go off in this other direction, is a lot of people use the old rule: if it's red meat, you use red wine; if it's fish or fowl, you use a white wine. That I suspect is changing because I see people drinking different things.
That's totally changed, and I never kind of bought into that to begin with. I know there's this idea that there's a perfect wine for every food. To me, you match the person with the wine more so than the food with the wine. Because if I give you the perfect wine for what you're having and you don't like it, then it's not the perfect wine. Mm-hmm. If I give you the perfect wine you're going to like, even if it doesn't match the food. We have a semi-outdoor seating at Annie Gunn's. It's an enclosed area. And the summertime gets very warm out there. People are out there drinking Cabernet Sauvignon on a 90-degree night because they want to drink Cabernet. Mm-hmm. It's not what I would do, but if that's what they want, that's making them happy. So you've got to enjoy the enjoyment. The only job wine has is to make you happy.
Yep.
That's the only thing it's meant to do.
Do you ever serve it chilled?
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, really? Well, there's another thing. That
I've actually been in California and had a winemaker throw ice cubes in a red wine.
Really?
Uh-huh.
There's certain red wines that we have at Reed's that we serve specifically slightly chilled too as well.
Well, let's get to some of these things you wanted to talk about. Mira and Andre wanted to talk about the importance of a wine list. Is there a foolproof wine list anywhere, as it might be called?
Well, this came about because we were having this conversation, and, I want to know where I can go, where I'm safe. I can just open the wine list and point to something, and I know I'm in good hands, and it's going to be an enjoyable experience. It's going to be something that's good quality, that was curated, that was selected because it's a great wine. And so we talked about what are some places that are like that, and a couple of them came across that were really unexpected, that I didn't know they had a great wine list, like Lucas Park Grill downtown on Washington Avenue. They have a sommelier. His name is Rich Ross, and he's put together a list that's affordable bottles, reliable bottles that are going to be worth the value. And for me, I know Lucas Park Grill is like a downtown, like nightlife kind of spot, and not as much as a place where I would go to go get a glass of wine. But, mm-hmm. you know, it was something that I took me by surprise, and I love that. I love that that's on our list. And then we also have on our list Truffles in Ledoux. They have an 88-page wine list. I mean, I think their wine list is probably similar to the Annie Gunn's wine. It's one of the biggest collections of wine in St. Louis, actually, for a restaurant. And their wine director, he's been recognized by World of Fine Wine and Wine Enthusiast, and he knows a lot about wines that come from the Balkan Peninsula. So, like, Slovenia, Croatia, Macedonia. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit less expected, that might be one of the ways to go when you go there.
They're really coming from everywhere these mm-hmm. days. I mean, their unexpected places are producing pretty good wines.
Yeah, I have 18 countries on my wine list.
Glenn, what are some of the buzzwords one would look for in terms of making a selection? I mean, there are things you should avoid, I suppose, as well as things
buzzwords
you should look
for. That a consumer would ask? The trickiest one is, I want something buttery. Mm-hmm. And it just drives me crazy, because it's not really a description that tells me anything. it's a word that people hear because they think they're supposed to like buttery Chardonnays, uh-huh. and in reality, buttery Chardonnays are typically the overblown, over oaked ones that won't even go with food. So we try to talk them out of that kind of stuff. We have 40 wines by the glass, so we taste wines with people to figure out what their taste buds.
I try to switch them from butter to sour cream, because those wines tend to be a little bit more elegant and enjoyable.
A little sour cream. What the? When somebody learns an expression, they don't really know all the words. Mm-hmm. Dry and sweet are always a challenge. Yeah. What's mm-hmm. dry to one person isn't dry to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I try to use the Kevin Zraley, great master sommelier in New York, has this he says, describe wine as skim milk, whole milk, or cream. And then people can kind of understand light, medium, or heavy, and then you get an idea of a communication with the customer by using another descriptor.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with getting a good conversation going with a server or with a sommelier.
Absolutely not.
Andrea, I know you're getting ready to leave for Portugal.
Yeah,
and that we talked about wines from unexpected places. I guess Portugal would be one of those places where it would be expected to have a good wine.
It is. It's just for the style of wine that's becoming very popular and very good coming out of there right now. It's a little bit different than what we're used to. We're used to seeing fortified wines, port, Madeira, things of that nature. And one of the things that we do at Reed's, we offer a semi-monthly wine class. I title it Sunday School. The next one is on Portugal. It's the day after tomorrow, if anybody would like to attend at 3:30 p.m. So I have just a few spots left as we pick some of these places, and we go a little bit more in depth. So Portugal right now, I think, is a great place for people that like wines from California, from Argentina, from Australia. Those places are warm. So is Portugal. The ripeness of fruit is going to be a little bit similar. The wines are very generous. They're very inviting. They're very well structured. So whether you like a California Cabernet, or if you like Malbec, or if you like none of those bigger kind of more voluptuous styles of wines, Portugal is a really great doorway into the rest of Europe for you. But if on the other side, if you like wines that are a little bit more earthy, a little bit more tannic, a little bit more old world, as we like to call it in style, there's plenty of those opportunities there as well. And for the value, I think that it is really one of the best, if not the best, places to source wine from right now.
Speaking of value, as our time begins to wind down, Glenn, you know, how much do you have to spend in the store, in the wine shop?
In your retail shop
to get a decent bottle of wine?
Well, okay, you put me on the spot here. I wouldn't spend over $20 if I was buying a bottle of retail generally. And there's so many values. Andre was talking about Portuguese wines. There are tremendous wines out there. $8 to $12, $15. I mean, it almost any price range. And I would also lean people to Missouri wines in that kind of category. That's some really great values.
And you've brought one here.
I brought a Vidal Blanc from Herman.
Are you going to pour a glass for the rest of us?
I'm
there we go. Sounds
great.
There
you go.
Yeah, this is Adam Puck de Vidal Blanc from Herman, Missouri.
Great. Thank you very much. Glenn Barget, Amir Nagarajan, and yours is empty.
I know, I already took care of mine.
Thank you also, Andre. Thank you also for being with us. We'll enjoy this. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Natalie Martinez, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air, funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis On the Air, a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.